Steve Trigg, the Carlton CEO, joins us. Steve, thanks so much for your time, and it's an exciting time for the Carlton Footy Club.
Pleasure, guys. It's a big day, and the culmination of nearly 3 months of hard work, really, research, turning over every little rock that we could find in terms of gathering information and, as the saying goes, due diligence, and producing a new senior coach for Carlton today. It is an exciting day.
And Steve, for you to lead the Carlton Football Club through something that they haven't done for a long, long time, and that is go through a process to find a coach.
Yeah, well, look, I didn't know much about that history in terms of the way that was the norm, but a lot of people have said that it's broken the mould. But it's imperative to do that because, and look, honestly, we feel like there was a mandate from the minute of arrival that, you know, the people were, members and the like, were at us about going through due process with players, coaches, etc. So always felt like there was a mandate to do that, and it's the right thing to do anyway. And look, we trawled far and wide, funneled it down, and as Brendan reflected a little today in his discussion at the media conference, and we put him through the hoops, all right, from a series of interviews, one-on-ones, full panel process, site profiling, through to using David Campbell at Egon Zehnder and his enormous capacity to read people, understand people, rate people, and get a just get a good a handle as we could on everyone that we wanted to. And Brendan bubbled up. It was a pretty close deal, but Brendan bubbled up for a couple of reasons very strongly.
Stephen, did you get to the point where you thought you had to move sooner than you would have liked, with Essendon looking for a coach, the Adelaide Crows needing to find an appointment? Were you under pressure at all time-wise?
David, we didn't feel any pressure time-wise, but it was in the back of our minds. The perfect scenario for us from the outset was to run the process right through to the end of the minor round. It got brought forward a little bit, not because of any heat that was being applied by others in the marketplace, and that's quite sincere. It was more about the fact that the panel is extraordinary, and I loved their insight, support, wisdom along the way, but very, very difficult to get hold of. Ange Postecoglou and his commitments, and Chris and Kenny Sheldon and Dave Campbell. So getting them all in the same room at the same time was a bit of a trick, and that just suited, you know, the last few weeks in particular, rather than feeling that pressure box of other clubs being in the market.
Were you disappointed that the information had got out? That it just seemed as though the press knew that you were going to the board, you're after ratification, and at 10 o'clock this morning, he's been appointed, he's going to be announced. Did you find out where that came from, or was it not a concern?
Look, you'd rather, as I said to the staff this morning and the players, you would definitely rather call them to order and say, I've got some news for you that hadn't been heard. Obviously, that's the ideal. It didn't surprise me so much. One, because a number of people know when the board meet and they join the dots. But more the point, Ox, is that what happens is as soon as you start having conversations with the incumbents club and others are involved in that process, that it squeaks out. And so it didn't surprise me. I just said to our guys in the lead up to it, you know, be prepared well before the board meeting for the inquiry to come. And look, we were quite relaxed about it.
So you had spoken to Hawthorne about it?
A number of times. In recent days.
Yep.
Totally respect confidentiality of the people that you did speak to, but just of the winning candidate, Brendan Bolton, can you give us one area where he stood out in particular over others?
I think he reflected it in a little bit of what he spoke about in the media conference about investing in people. Look, our spec, our brief, contained a lot of elements, personal qualities and characteristics and experience and qualifications-wise. Most of the candidates had a capacity to, you know, create an environment, strong relationship building, the basics in terms of, you know, game knowledge, immersion in the corporate requirements and all of that. I think the thing to answer your question is that in Brendan, we believe that where Carlton is at and what we need at the moment is a really big emphasis on development, building our playing list, developing our people, developing our players, and indeed developing our off-field people. And so this became a bit of our mantra on the way through, is that multicultural Carlton, tribal Carlton is on its way to becoming people and learning and development Carlton. And Brendan married up with that extraordinarily well. So that's the best way to answer your question about the differentiator that was in there and his capacity to create a learning environment, developing people at a time when Carlton clearly has a big job ahead of it in developing its people and its list.
Steve, can you just talk us through the contract and why Brendan Bolton has been put on staff rather than a fixed-term contract and how that'll work and what surety it gives you, and does it take away surety from Brendan, or is he able to walk at any stage, or just for the supporters out there, how that's all going to work?
Well, the first thing is that whether it's a senior management person or your coach, senior coach, they're similar format in the sense that you need really strong relationships, good open communication about performance, about the future, etc. Now, that would be no different with Brendan Bolton being the senior coach of our club. And so if you embark on it with a sense of alignment and confidence about where you're going with it, being on staff is a very logical thing to do, just like I am, just like Andy McKay is, etc. As distinct from the usual sort of format that is, do it 2 or 3 years and then it's got this finite end date and we go through the old paradigm of renewal or not renewal and everybody has this conjecture about it. It's a staff position. It's on staff. And as I said today, it has some mechanisms in there that protect the club. And
so if Brisbane, for example, Triggy wanted to come and poach Brendan Bolton,
what I'd expect is that Brendan would come walk in my office and say, we've got a situation that we need to deal with, and we deal with it.
Yeah, I like it. As a Carlton fan, I like it. It seems so logical.
Well, it protects the club from a payout, but then you lose probably a little bit of strength if he does negotiate with somebody else.
But it avoids us spending the whole time, as soon as he gets to a year out, saying, what are you going to do with your coach? Yeah. What are you going to do with your coach? Drives everyone crazy.
Ox, I appreciate that very much. Ox, in this day and age, I would pose the question to you, is that protection really there if we embarked on a three and he turns out to be the outstanding coach we want him to be? I mean, we would need to be working with him every step of the way to keep him, whatever format you're under. And that's why I made the preliminary remark about good open communication, strong relationship, because if this works out the way we want it to be, then there's going to be those sorts of opportunities along the way. And no matter what format you've got, you're going to want to keep the person. So, I really believe in the fact that this is the right way to go in this day and age.
Okay.
And just a little byproduct of that is that if it prevents this crazy conjecture that we have in our business of in our industry of from 12, 15 months out of projecting, posturing as to whether one will be renewed or not. If it does away with that, well, all the better.
Just the future of two people that interest me greatly. John Barker, who's been fantastic stepping in and taking that mantle. Where's he at for 2016? And also Matthew Cruiser, who's finally playing some good footy, but then I heard some comments during the weekend that were a smidgen concerning for Carlton fans.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that conjecture came from, other than he's out of contract and it's just a bit of mischief that bubbles up. We've been meeting with Matty Cruiser and he's as happy and strong and solid as can be. And so Carlton supporters need to understand we're very confident of getting that done. Look, it's the first year that I've worked with Big Cruz and he is full of character. He's the heart and soul of he's the type of character that's the heart and soul of your footy club. And so we don't want him to go anywhere, and we don't expect to do anything other than re-sign him. In the case of JB, just in short, we couldn't have asked any more of John. He's been outstanding. He stepped into quite difficult circumstances. And I genuinely mean this, is that all the way through, he's put club first, team first, be it selection, be it his decision-making, his immersion in various activities in the footy club. It's just all been about doing the right thing by the club, around the list management table, etc. So, look, he has really stepped up and grown significantly over the last 10, 12 weeks. In terms of his future, as a mark of his character, you'd be a bit flat, wouldn't you, when you've received a phone call that says, sorry, mate, you've missed, but disappointed, as is entitled to be, bounced in this morning with an incredibly positive attitude, job to be done, be finished, the players would expect me to see it through. And so he'll coach the last two games. Beyond that, we agreed that, we'd assess it from there. And that's as much from his perspective as anything. I did make the comment today that when someone is as good as they are and they care as deeply as the club about the club as John has, they deserve our care and support in return. So whichever way it goes, is he has that. But I'd like to think at the moment that means that he stays, but we'll see how it works out.
If Brendan Bolton, Stephen, had decided to say, look, I really want to stick it out with Hawthorn until the end of the finals, would you have given him that option?
I think that would be the respectful thing to do, yeah. It's tricky. And I know the Coaches Association at the moment making something of seeing it out. And fair enough, it's that's respected as well. But having been through this a couple of times at least, when that appointment is made, you can't wait. If you're doing the right thing by Carlton in this instance, you can't wait until September, October before you start to move. So if it comes to a head in season, and then there's no keeping secrets, you have to deal with it, make the appointment and deal with it. What happens at that point is that the incumbent, his head is in a different space immediately. And so there's a nice theory in there about seeing it out, but it's interesting in its application. The short answer to your question is we would have needed to respect it and would have gone with it. But there is a reality in there too about once the appointment's made, perhaps from Hawthorn's perspective and from Brendan's, you know, the heads are in a different space.
Well, everyone's excited about it, and I can imagine he seems to be a happy guy. When he walks in the door on Monday, I think everyone's going to be up and about. So, Steve, congratulations to everyone involved.
Thanks, guys. To Carlton supporters, it's the start of a new era, and that's always really exciting. And he has got a really energetic way about him, but there's a nice steeliness there too, which we've seen a little bit along the way. So looking forward to it, I can tell you.
Thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks, boss.
Stephen Trigg, Carlton CEO.